I'm covered in words. Huh?
The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Over the river and through the woods, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diana Hong. And now, fully in holiday mode, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. I'm back from Vermont.
Yeehaw!
Whoop-doo-doo! Whoop-a-dee-doo!
And here's the thing. Everyone that you heard the name should be here. Diana should be here in a while.
Yes! I can't wait to see her.
Unless she ran out of gas on the drive.
Yeah, who knows? Anything's possible, but she's expected. But in the meantime, all the gentlemen are here. Everyone but Sam's looking at their phone, so it's a good time.
I have my notes on my phone, just to be clear.
It's the digital dilemma, man. You never know if they're looking at Facebook or something actually important.
Kareem's probably looking at boobs.
Well, if you
maybe ass. I think he's more of an ass man, to be honest.
I was looking at Christmas decorated boobs.
It's either that or he's posting something on Facebook. If you go to Kareem's Facebook page, there's a flurry of activity as we're recording the show.
Oh, wow.
Virtually always.
Yeah, you can watch us in real time on Kareem's Facebook page.
He's not talking about anything we're talking about, but still. Yeah. Coming up on the show today, we hear from Ronda Rousey the first time since she got her ass handed to her down under. That came out wrong, I think. Nice.
Tits the season.
Dusty Baker shows that he's a little bit from another generation when you said things before you thought about it. And full Donald Trump coverage. Well, as full as it deserves to be.
Oh, Lord.
Full of it?
It's full. But
Shitter is full.
Merry Christmas. Shitter was full. But first, let's start out. How was Jason? Welcome back to the married man.
What's going down?
This is the first time. First time.
Probably you on your wife. Uh-oh.
Well, we are married.
It's socially
inappropriate
acceptable.
Comment.
Oh, my gosh. You know, now I'm not so worried if my mother-in-law hears because we're married now. So.
Right. Yes. Nothing she can do now.
As a matter of fact, if you're not doing that, there's something wrong. Probably.
Right, it's probably an unhealthy marriage.
Yeah. When, have you gotten the, what am I getting grandkids talk?
Oh, yeah, it's all about the grandkids.
I love how she's now 90. What are we getting grandkids?
No, she actually looks like she's like 48, 49. Like, I based a big judgment on Chris. Like, once I met her mom, I was like, oh, all right.
She's going to age well.
You're going to age this well.
It's important. You got to look at those things.
No. Right. Yeah. But no, I am married now, right? So that's
congrats,
awesome.
Dude.
Congratulations on your first marriage.
Yeah. And my last.
Did she let you keep your balls?
No. Well, she let me keep them. They're just at the house, like on the shelf.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I should say, did she let you leave the house with them?
Oh, no. Under certain occasions, you know, it's the right time.
What I found really interesting was Jason's honeymoon was pretty much all on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was,
except for the best parts.
There was a lot of checking in at restaurants, the spa, the whole thing. That was by design?
That was by design because this is the reason that I did it is because now every year for the next however long I have Facebook, I will be reminded about where I was on those dates.
That's
so
smart.
I cannot fuck shit up. When it comes down to it, like I will always be reminded about what's going on those days, and I did it with Google Plus also, so like in the Google Photos. So I'm gonna make sure that I'm protected.
I really hope this marriage lasts.
Yeah, otherwise I'm gonna have to strike. Yeah,
painful reminder. It's time for a Facebook painful reminder of what was lost.
Oh.
I was reminded today that Nate's wedding present is gonna be an IOU. Actually, it's a promissory note. Like, if you can promise me you can stay married this time, I'll give you a present. Nice.
No guarantees.
No guarantees.
I cannot make any guarantees.
You can cash this upon 5 years of marriage.
Hey, I did make it five years the first time. So there's that. Well, no, we split up a month before our fifth anniversary.
Yeah, so there you go. So we're safe.
Yeah.
I'll give the missus a present that's just her present.
Yeah, it is. Aren't they all her present?
Yeah,
really.
That's the way it goes.
So yeah, that's going on. Kareem, how was your week?
My week was up and down.
Steelers won, so I know you're happy.
Steelers won. One of my mentors passed, so went to his funeral.
Sorry to hear about that.
Then I went to see Corey Holcomb at Tommy T's last night, and he is fearless, funny, and fucked up.
Nice. Good blend.
Yes, because he broke all the rules. Like, he started with an abortion bit.
Mm. So just daring people to hate him.
Yeah, just like off the top, like not even a warm up.
Just throwing a bucket of cold water on the audience right from the start.
Like from the start. And he went like everywhere that you're not supposed to go. And the shit was funny.
I appreciate that when an artist can just go, if they're going to own it, and just go full-fledged cray-cray.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what he did. Everything that you're not supposed to say, like he really went there. And the shit was hilarious. Like, the audience went with him. That was the...
Nice. So it was a success.
It was a success. Like, nobody...
Well done.
Like, there was one person that left early, and I don't even think it was because of the material. I think he just had to leave.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Bad indigestion.
Yeah. And I got to talk to him, like, after the show for about 20, 30 minutes.
Mm. So, what did he tell you? What did he say? What were his wise words?
His wise words were, there's only one you.
True that, baby.
True that.
Unless you're Sam, because he's got a twin.
God damn it, Nate.
So whatever your perspective is, own it and go with it. You know, like own it and go with it from there.
Yeah.
And he's like, because people will, like when you do bits, people will start to see through that.
Yeah.
And as long as you're honest and true, then even if you're still working through shit, he said they'll respect what you're saying because it's the truth and they can identify with it. So.
That's good, man.
Truth knows truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not being a phony is important.
Yeah. Word.
Sam, what you been up to?
Man, it's been a wild couple weeks, I guess. But highlight wise, I'm sure you've heard about this with your wife and her profession and all that, but
fiance. Yes.
I'm so sorry. Didn't mean to jump the gun there, all this wife talk. Me and the fam had a little Swedish Christmas Yule board. Over at the IKEA.
Ah,
it's a smorgasbord full of pickled herring, salmon, Swedish meatballs, of course, and coffee and stuff. It was good.
Nice.
It was fantastic. And then had my grandparents and my parents, my brother's wife, my girlfriend, all at my new home for the first time. Well,
very
Joe,
good.
Amanda, and my girlfriend, of course, have been there, but not my parents or my grandparents. So that was nice.
Excellent.
Beside that, dude, I don't know. It's just been busy.
Yeah, it's that time of year when you work in TV.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of that. So, I went to see Adam Carolla.
Boom. Oh, yes. How many times is this now?
Second time recording a podcast, and I've seen him do stand-up.
Nice.
So, three times. And here's what I will say. To the people sitting behind me, shut the fuck up!
Really?
Because they had been, so they had Mangria. They were pouring his signature drink, Mangria.
Did they bring a lot of it?
I don't know. I didn't drink because I had a flight the next morning. But they basically were treating it as if they were listening to the podcast in their living room.
Because
every time they would say something on stage, they would start their own little fucking banter session behind me. And they were just as loud as what I was hearing coming from the stage. So it was
motherfuckers.
It was this fight to try and understand what was going on and to hear it. And I did not let it ruin the show for me. I've gotten much better at controlling my temper. And I thought about saying something, but I knew they were drunk and I knew nothing good would come of it.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You have to pick your battles and you choose wisely.
I don't
wisely.
Let that shit go no more. I used to be the guy that would let that go, but the last couple of shows that I've been to where it's been like that, I'm like, nah, look.
You're not going
to
ruin my show.
Like, no, I didn't pay to fucking hear you talk. Mm. Shut the fuck up.
What'd you say to him?
I didn't say anything to him.
You just kept your mouth shut?
Yeah.
You didn't recline your chair really fast. You go, oh, I'm sorry, guys.
I was at the crest. Nothing reclines at the crest.
You could have really pushed.
If something reclines at the crest, it's broken.
Yeah,
it's broken. And then went to Vermont to see my dad for early Christmas. Although there was nothing really Christmassy about it. It was as warm there as it is here, so it was not wintry weather.
What?
And his tree's not up yet.
Oh, so it probably was like not like Christmas at
it
all.
Was
did
not
you
like
help
Christmas
him put it
all.
Up young
no
man?
No that was the tree will be going up in the next week or so.
Okay.
But and here's the reason why: he had another flare-up of gout like the day I got there.
Ouch.
So the first 3 days I was there, he could barely stand up, so that was kind of an issue. But got him all hooked up with his new fall detection button that I got him. Hey, Merry Christmas. Here's a fall detection button.
Do you get like an app alert reminder or something?
Yes. I will get alerts if his battery starts to run low on the thing, amongst other things. And I can also open it up and see where he is, assuming he's wearing it.
Right.
But it's nice because it's one button. And he can call one button push, calls a nurse. If he holds it, it's a 911 call.
Yeah.
If he falls down, it will call the company who will then make sure he's okay. And if he's not, they'll call 911. So it's a big peace of mind to have that.
For sure.
And, you know, the monthly fee, whatever, you know. It's
can you really buy peace of mind?
It's worth it.
Can you really? Can you pay for peace of mind? Can you put a price tag on knowing? Yes, you can.
Actually, $30 a month.
In fact, they can put a price on the fall detection. That's an extra $10 a month. Tacked onto the other. But that's the important
price
part.
Of two tall grande lattes.
Here's the thing. Of all you wanted was a button with fall detection, you can't get that. That's the last $10 tack on.
Right.
You have to build. It's like a pyramid thing.
Oh, yeah.
Going up.
It's all sales.
Yeah.
They want to get what they can.
And you know what? And it's fine. It's fine. It's actually cheaper than the one you see on TV. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Life alert.
Well, yeah, because they have a commercial.
Right,
they're paying for TV.
And, yeah. And the company I used, it's called Great Call. They're the same people that make Jitterbug.
Oh, my gosh. Jitterbug.
Is that if you have a seizure or something? They
no,
can
it, it's an old people. It's an old people cell phone.
Yeah.
It has like larger numbers on it. And that's all it does is... All it does is
it's
let
just
you
for
make a call.
Yeah.
It does not do any of that fancy...
There's no text.
It doesn't do any
what
of that...
What if this witchcraft...
Texting a picture. I'm not sending a... Back in my day, a selfie was sent over line by line.
Like a dot matrix printer.
Awesome. Carrier pigeon.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing, though. Jitterbug does make a touch phone now. So they have...
Oh, Jesus. The world's going to end.
It's I know. It's well, you know, younger people are getting older, and it's going in.
That's right, Sam.
Oh shit! It's happening.
Can I tell
Let
you?
Let me tell you.
That's. Oh my! I'm sorry. I just had my birthday too, so I'm 30 and 38.
Yes,
and that's so. Like, I feel so fucking. I'm starting to feel.
Did you get your AARP card?
Fuck you, man! I swear to God, I sometimes feel like I'm 22 years old, but then at other times I'm like the fucking weight of the world crashes down on me. And I'm like, I feel like I fucking know.
Oh,
I'm
you
38.
Put some Just for Men in your beard. That's why it's so dark. That's why it looks so shiny.
No, ain't using no colors. I earned every one of those gray hairs.
So greasy the formula.
It's a true beard oil. I bought it from Sam's friend.
I fucking hate the white. I don't have that many white hairs, but I hate them because they all come in like in my sideburns.
Mm.
For the most part, that's where they're coming in. And they've come in the last 2 years, for the most part. Yeah. And it sort of coincided when my dad had his stroke, but it also coincides with me being like 43. So not really a big surprise to be in my 40s and starting to get a gray hair here.
Oh,
there.
Shit. Yeah. I started getting them like 10 years ago.
I'm 30. I've got a few in my beard. And what's funny is my twin brother has them in the same spots on his beard.
Yeah. Who could have seen
that
coming?
What is that?
Yeah, we're one
similar
nut.
Similar genetic hair.
And I don't know if anybody can hear the difference, but I have a new microphone.
You sound so smooth.
Well, In 2016, one of the things I said I was going to do is start a voiceover business on the side of what, you know, everything else that I do. Yeah. My main job, the podcast, I'm going to be starting a voiceover business.
Is there any conflict of interest there?
In what?
In doing voiceover work, perhaps, with perhaps a client that might...
No.
Good. None at all.
Good.
No, I mean, well, here's the thing. I'm not going to do... Let's say another station in this market,
right,
were to come to me and go, we'd like you to be our voice guy.
I would say no.
That's a conflict of interest because I work at this station.
But if Sweet. Audible wants you to read one of their fancy romantic classics, you can get paid for that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And so the idea is to sort of start slowly.
Yeah.
And I still have to work on the acoustics in this room a little bit and maybe get another piece of equipment. But the idea is I'm going to start with the website Fiverr, which is where I got this lady. Where is that? Oh, yeah, here.
Inappropriate comment.
She's on Fiverr.
Okay.
So start there and sort of build out and not clear my throat on microphone. But, you know, just little side projects with that. So that's going to be coming up in 2016.
Dope.
That's great, man. Taking the steps. It's not even 2016. He's taking the steps.
Oh. Taking the steps.
Well, you have to be ready to go. Well, yep. And here's the other thing. I got it on sale. I did.
There you go.
So when you can get it on sale.
And are you sure about that?
That I got it on sale?
Yeah, no, just because it's the name of the mic.
It's yeah, sure. It's the legendary Shure SM7B. On the box it says
the legendary.
Legendary vocal mic.
Wait for it. Legendary.
Legendary vocal mic. So that's coming up. So I'm kind of excited about that and hopefully get a few things here and there and grow the business and go from there. And all part of the big excitement that goes on.
Yeah,
here.
I'd like to rent some time on your in your studio when it's ready.
Yeah, if it's just for one, well, we'll talk offline. We'll talk offline. You have no money.
He doesn't sound excited about that.
Yeah, right, well, talk about that. So Donald Trump, still the Republican front runner, although this doesn't give me any solace. Ted Cruz is catching him in Iowa.
Oh my gosh.
What did I tell you? I told y'all that Donald Trump was out there first so that when all the rest of the crazies came through,
without a doubt,
it wouldn't
right?
sound like it was as crazy as
he,
it was.
Yeah. He's like that horse that runs out to the front and then eventually peters out. Let's see. He was on MSNBC's Morning Joe.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
to talk about his plan to ban Muslims from coming into the country, which Gawker refers to him as a poorly trained circus orangutan. and here's what blows me away. Donald Trump lives in New York City, so he's not far from any of these places, but he only calls in to like Fox News, MSNBC, the Today Show. He calls in. So he called in to Morning Joe. Oh, they blocked it. They blocked NBC blocked the audio. That's nicely done. Anyway, basically, Joe Scarborough, who's a former Republican congressman from Florida, tried to ask him a question, and Trump's just going on, you know, just making statements, and he says, look, if you're not going to answer questions, then we're not going to do this. And he goes, well, I'm answering questions, blah, blah, and he goes, no, you're not. You're just talking, and we're not going to have you on to just talk. We'll go to break. And he keeps talking, and he goes, just go to break. He cut
wow.
to break. So they cut to break on Donald Trump. So I'm sure it's out there, but the link I had is now outdated. Then a couple days later, Donald Trump got into a Twitter feud with, wait for it, a Saudi prince.
Boom.
Sweet.
Now, to be fair, the Saudi prince did start it. His name is Prince Awaleed bin Talal.
Awaleed, you will follow?
Said that Mr. Trump should give up his presidential ambitions because he would never win. and he called him a disgrace to America. So Trump tweeted back calling the prince dopey. So that's great. The tweet back was Dopey Prince at Halloween Talal wants to control our U.S. politicians with daddy's money. Can't do it when I get elected. Hashtag Trump 2016. So wow. Here's the thing about Trump. There's just that little part of him that you smile when you see what he does. You're like, you can't deny yeah, it. Yeah. I wish I could just go fuck you and be done like that.
Archie Bunker.
You said it.
It is really amazing. Now, for the most part, it's...
And the thing is, he doesn't answer anybody's questions.
Oh, no. No. That's why he calls in, because then he can just talk, and you don't... If you're in a room with somebody and you're talking to them and they're asking you questions, it's really hard to ignore them and plow through. When you're on the phone, it's really easy.
Like, I watched the interview with him with Chris Wallace on Sunday.
Yes.
And they had to insert the other parts of the question they wanted to ask him into the broadcast so that people would understand what kind of questions they were trying to ask him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these two motherfuckers are on their phones.
Yeah, I know, attention. Right? See what it's like?
I'm looking for something.
I'm downloading Fiverr.
But it was just crazy that he just shut down. He wouldn't answer anything that he was asking.
Right.
He was like, well, because he asked him about his favorables with minorities and women. And he was like, well, this Fox poll said that I'm going to win. I'm up 50. I will beat Hillary by 4 or 5 points. And I was sitting there thinking, like, do you remember the last time a Fox poll said that a candidate was going to win?
Right.
And that was when Bush's old boss campaign manager had the meltdown because Romney was losing in Ohio.
Right. But yeah, that was crazy. Also, Jon Stewart stopped by The Daily Show week before. Basically to shame Congress.
Iguanas are king. But the big question is, do they have...
Why are they cheering already?
Because Jon Stewart came out on stage and is standing there behind him.
Nice.
Wearing a gray pants, gray t-shirt, and very gray beard.
I'm sorry, sir. Are you lost?
No, Trevor, wait. It's me, Trevor. It's me.
Papa?
No.
Papa?
It's me, John Stewart.
Oh, it's John Stewart, everybody.
This is
Oh wait. Are you here to take the show back? Oh man, I heard about this in American TV. Are you taking the show back?
That's not about. Trust me. 1,000 times no. Actually, I have this issue. I care about it very deeply, and I was wondering, you know, I want to get some attention paid to it, but I was realizing that I don't have a show, and nobody gives a anymore. So I thought, you have a show and maybe I could come and...
Hey, I'm here for you, John. Yeah. I'm here for you. My show is your show, my friend.
Oh!
Yeah.
Let me just...
No, I'm not going to...
I understand. Fair. I understand. That's good. Well, I just want to... So back in 2010, okay... after far more lobbying than should have ever been necessary, Congress passed what was called the Zadroga Act, funded health care for 9/11 first responders who'd gotten sick working at Ground Zero after, funny story, the government told them that the air was safe, but it gave them cancer. Yeah.
So you're here to celebrate the anniversary?
No. They actually only funded the Zadroga Act 5 years. They said they wanted to make sure that the program wouldn't have people that tried to cheat it, and that you could scientifically prove a link between the responders' horrible diseases and the toxic air that they were breathing day in and day out working at Ground Zero.
I see, and you're here because they couldn't prove the link.
Well, they proved the link.
I see, but there was a lot of fraud.
There was no fraud. There was no fraud.
So no reason to not renew it permanently.
You're not from around here, are you? Of course there was no reason not to renew it permanently, but they did not renew it anyway. It expired in September. It's soon going to be out of money. These first responders, many sick with cancers and pulmonary disease, have had to travel at their own expense to Washington, D.C. hundreds of times to plead for our government to do the right thing. Plead.
Oh, I see. So you're here to tell us that once Congress saw the first responders, obviously their renewed vigor came in and they renewed the health care funding and they made it permanent. That's what you're saying, right?
You're not from around here. They have not done that.
But that doesn't make sense, John Stewart.
I know! The only conclusion that I can draw is that the people of Congress are not as good a people as the people who are first responders.
Oh, well, John,
that's the only, I don't know, that's what I think.
So it goes on from there, and it's pretty easy to find the rest of it. But, yeah, it's something that pretty much slipped under the radar. I had not heard about that. Had you heard about, anybody heard about that?
I heard about it. Nikki actually found a link in, posted on her website or on her Facebook, and I read that. But
I mean, otherwise before John Stewart.
Oh, I don't know.
No, I've known about this for the last 3 years. Like, this is coming up, and that they're doing nothing about it, and they haven't been doing anything. Like, that it just complete and utter like not caring for people that helped directly after 9/11.
Well, that is America.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No. Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
You know that, and especially Republican Americans.
Well, and it happens a lot with veterans.
Yeah. Oh, especially with veterans.
For sure, yeah.
It really just echoes what goes on with veterans a lot, where it's like we're proud of our men and women and salute them and we play, and now we have to have God Bless America and the national anthem every baseball game and all of this, blah, 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 blah. But when they come back, their health care is underfunded. They find it very difficult to get any services that they need. And basically, they're just not taken care of.
Yeah.
They're taken care of on the front end. Here's a gun. Rah, rah. Go ahead.
They're only sufficiently taken care of. Like, it's not like they're being taken care of like above and beyond what a normal citizen
exactly.
would be taken care of.
It's enough to make you needy. It's like being on having served. I can tell you, it's like being on welfare.
It's
kind of like you're in an addiction kind of mode. Like, which was one of the reasons I got out, because I saw people that were in and they had been in, and I was like, wow. This is like being in a welfare state almost.
Yeah, just trying to break out.
Just trying to break out.
It's like, well, if I get out, I'm going to lose my benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but your benefit is not really that great.
Yeah. And then when I was in, like, they were, all of the stuff that they had promised to people that were at the end of their 20 years, they were starting to pull. Mm-hmm. And I saw that, and I was like, yeah, I'm not spending 20 years doing this shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get out, and by the time, I'm like, the way they're pulling shit for these people now, by the time you get out, they're going to be, you're not going to have anything left.
Right. And the big thing is, there are all these promises made.
And the crazy thing is that the Republicans are the hawks who are mm-hmm. always, let's go to war, let's go to war. And then they're always the people who are the quickest to pull the funding or vote against funding for the veterans.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you...
And first responders from 9/11, let's not get it even... they are pretty much veterans. Like, they're home front.
Oh, absolutely.
They're our home front veterans.
That's one of the first times it became, like, majorly put out there that these are, you know, you've got the heroes, and they put pictures of the soldiers and the first responders together, like, on posters and stuff. Yeah.
And it's like, how do you not see that this is what's happening, and you keep... You're still in lockstep with these asshats who aren't taking care of the people that you're supposed to be your heroes.
As somebody on Facebook may have said, where are the All Lives Matter people now? Like, where are those people? Yeah. Where are all those people that like have been talking about, like, you know, black, like, this is a thing that should be like All Lives Matter. Yeah. This is hashtag All Lives Matter.
For sure,
That was my Twitter post.
I know. That's why I want to give you the credit of saying that. It's true.
But it's always where the fuck are y'all on shit like this that really counts, mm-hmm. as opposed to just being against something because Black Lives Matter is for it.
If you're going to send people off to fight and die and do other things like that, the least you can do is take care of them when they come back in pieces.
Exactly.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. And that is a huge part of the homeless problem.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
It's veterans.
Yeah, it's like, whatever they need, you should be like, okay, you're like first in line to everything.
For sure.
You know?
As it should be. as it should be, because you've gone above and beyond. You deserve that front of the line pass to Disney World.
Exactly.
And not just, hey, soldier, you get to board the plane before other people.
Yeah. Don't, like I always say on Veterans Day, like, don't fucking say thank me for, don't thank me for my service. Vote for somebody that's going to make sure that people like me are taken care of.
Right. That's good.
And judging by the first responders vote, the not Republicans, because I saw the list of people who voted against, and it was virtually all people with an R next to their name.
Yeah.
Virtually all.
Right, because they have lobbyists talking in their ears saying that if you say that this is a cause, that it's going to be listed and linked to so many other diseases and so many other issues that, like, they're, like, being told by lobbyists that they can't, like, it'll be horrible. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the thing. It's like they have people.
Like, so it's kind of like now, it's kind of like, oh, well, we'll just wait for them to die out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like, and that's a calculation that somebody has made at this point.
They made it.
For sure.
They
yeah.
made it. Mm-hmm. You know, they've made it. It's just like when you go to war. It's like when we went to war in Iraq and people were talking about the number of people that we lost at 9/11. And I was like, okay, well, what was the real number? Because if you notice that morning, it was like, oh, there were like 50,000 people in that building.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final number was like 3,000 people.
Yeah.
But in your mind, they had already implanted that there would be 50,000 people in that building.
Right.
Or could be. So it made it look like the disaster was, not that it wasn't a big disaster, but it made it seem like it was a bigger disaster than it was. And for them, those are numbers that are already calculated. So it's like a calculated risk. Like when they send these people to war, they already expect to lose a certain number of people.
Right, yeah.
And that's just like, oh, these are just casualties of war.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they are with these people.
All right. So moving on from that,
to a more positive, uplifting thing. Yeah.
Sure. It's the off season in baseball. Players moving around. Some moving and then not moving.
Some people getting way too much money.
Well, all of them are getting way too much money. But I'm speaking specifically of Aroldis Chapman, who got traded from the Reds to the Dodgers. And then the Dodgers went, oh, there's allegations of domestic violence. Hold on. Maybe we don't want him.
Too, yeah.
but meanwhile, his former manager, Dusty Baker, who is now the manager of the Washington Nationals, and he's a Sacramento native as well, he had a large crowd at the winter meetings. He's 66. He's very candid. But he delivered some comments on domestic violence and player makeup that baseball might find a little disconcerting. He said, now he's apologized for a lot of this, so take that with a grain of salt. He said that Latino and African-American players are more likely to possess better speed, and also indicated that domestic violence against men is as concerning as violent acts against women. First of all, if you're a white guy and you say Latino and African-American players are more likely to possess better speed, someone's probably going to call you a racist. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. Jimmy the Greek got pulled off TV for that shit. Now, he went a little further.
He went a whole lot further than that.
A little further.
And then the crazy thing was he was telling the truth.
He wasn't wrong. Okay?
He was telling the truth.
And I'm not saying Dusty Baker was wrong. I'm just saying Mike Trout. So now with former All-Star Aroldis Chapman's trade from Cincinnati to L.A. in limbo, and now it's been canceled after the alleged domestic incident in Florida, Baker vouched for Chapman, who was his closer while he was managing the Reds, and questioned whether the allegations are true, and then lauded MLB for enacting a domestic violence policy. He shifted the focus then to a potential for men to be victims of abuse, saying, I think it's a great thing. I mean, I got a buddy at home that's being abused by his wife. So I think the policy needs to go further than the player. I think the policy should go to whoever's involved. Sometimes abusers don't always have pants on.
What's that mean?
Don't have pants on?
Well, they're skirts, Sam. They're skirts.
Oh, how sexist! Because women wear pants all the time nowadays.
They're skirts.
I see it with my own eyes.
And Sam wears a skirt at least once a week.
At least
it's a sarong.
And it's my damn right.
It's a sarong. It's not a skirt.
It's a. What do they call it in Fiji? They wear them in. Is that the?
I think it's a sarong.
Oh. Yeah. No, it's not. But they do wear them in Fiji. Too.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Yours is just a skirt.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
He went on to say it's a bad situation. That's the first thing my mama told me when I was a kid. Don't hit a woman, even my sister. Man, I was like, you better leave me alone before I tell my mama. It's a bad situation. I learned that young, but a lot of people maybe didn't learn that. Okay. Again, he's 66 years old. He comes from a different time, and he is somebody who will always answer a question.
Yeah.
And in sports, that's rare. You get a lot of canned bullshit answers. So I will give Dusty credit for answering the question. Here's the problem. Yes, there are cases where women are abusing men in domestic violence situations.
There are a lot of cases.
Here's,
I know about that personally.
Here's the difference. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
As far as the MLB policy, I don't recall any Major League Baseball players being women.
True.
So it's not really an issue.
Actually, okay, so will he be like the first person who's actually had the thing applied to them?
Yeah, it's a pretty new policy. Yeah. I think they put it in after the whole Ray Rice thing. Yeah. I mean, that pretty much meant sports had to sort of get in front of this. So when it happened,
they had
a guideline of here's what's going to happen if we have domestic violence allegations, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So it's not this. The Roger Goodell thing was a fucking mess because he was all over the place with, yeah, I'm going to punish you with this and you with this and blah, 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 blah. So they wanted to get something in that was, this is our policy and here's what's going to happen when it happens.
Yeah.
So
that was,
but Dusty has apologized and apparently all is forgiven. And as, you know what? As it should be.
Yeah.
As it should be. Because he, like anybody else who said it, did not mean any harm.
Right.
But let's face it, Dusty got a pass because he's an old black man.
Yep.
I swear to God.
Wait. No. He did get a pass because he was an old black man. But the other thing is, white people don't really speak up about a domestic violence unless there's a black person involved.
Here and there. But yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, he got a pass. But again, everybody should get a pass because it should go to intent.
Right,
and first of all, he's a Major League Baseball manager. He knows baseball.
Yeah.
He's not a sociologist. He's not a social worker. He manages a baseball team.
Right, and he comes from the era of having seen it on both ends, where he'd seen, where you've seen women hit men and where you've seen men knock the shit out of women too.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so that's, yeah.
All right, it's time to do this.
Get ready for some judging.
Ooh. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Morning Joe. Sam, let's start with you.
I love drinking a cup of Joe, but is this the dude who was friends with Jon Stewart?
He's the one who went to break on Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, totally cool. Props. Mad props.
Kareem?
Normally, I would say tool on Joe because I can't stand him, but in this occasion, it was cool as fuck.
Jason?
Well, I think I got this one in the bag. I mean, when I win,
I believe in you, Jason.
I'm going to say
you can do it.
It's cool. Very cool. Morning Joe.
Yeah.
Bravo.
You did it, guys.
Morning Joe is cool and red hot. Up next in Cooler Tool, Jon Stewart, Kareem.
Always cool.
Jason?
Well, that's an easy one. Cool.
Sam?
Johnny Stu gets a vote for cool.
Johnny got a black card.
John Stewart is cool because he still actually gives a shit.
Yeah, right.
Because he could just be hanging out retired and say, fuck it, I ain't dealing with this anymore.
Right.
He's cool. And finally in Cooler Tool. Yes,
can I change the tool?
If you'd like.
Because I'm thinking about it, and like it's not even a year after he's been off of the show.
Right.
And he comes back on. Like, you know,
hijacks
like,
another dude's show.
Yeah, hijack the show. I mean, so in a way, it's kind of like, how many more times is it going to happen? Like, you know, right. It's better.
Until they give him another show.
Once. I did, like, it's cool this time.
I did love the subtle dig
like
at Jay Leno.
Yeah.
I've heard how talk shows work in America. You're not coming back, are you? Finally, in Cooler Tool, Dusty Baker. Jason.
Dusty Baker is definitely cool, without a doubt.
Kareem.
Having met the man, he is cool.
Yeah.
Sam?
You met the man?
I can tell you personally he's cool.
Okay, well, I'm going to take Kareem's endorsement there and say cool.
I'm going to say cool, too, because he helped the Angels win their only World Series championship by mismanaging the Giants in 2002. So, thank you, Dusty Baker. I appreciate all that you've done.
Oh, poor Dusty.
And that's it for Cool or Tool. Hey, everybody. It's the holiday season. You got your gifts. Or do you? Still got some shopping to do? Don't want to deal with all of the asshats at the mall? Are you tired of seeing teenagers with their asses hanging out above the belt lines of their jeans?
Yes.
Well, I think we all are. Well, do it no more. Do all of your shopping on Amazon. And when you do, please click through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Where was that?
It's the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. It usually will save you some money, and it helps the show. So there you go.
Well, why not then?
And in many cases, you can get your gifts shipped gift-wrapped.
Wait.
I am glad you reminded me of that. I got some stuff I have to get
there on. There you go. I actually have a few more things coming for Leslie from Amazon that I've ordered. They will be here. By the time you hear this show, I will have them in my possession. And they were things that would have been next to impossible to find or would have involved going to 6-8 different stores to find. And they're just going to be shipped right to me.
Bam.
Dope.
Super easy. Stop getting stuff for my dad needs something. He's in Vermont. I go to Amazon. I go, boom, send it to him.
Send it to him.
And there you go.
And it's gift wrapped.
It can be gift wrapped. It cannot be gift wrapped.
Put it under the tree.
When he said, my coffee maker is broken, I went on Amazon and bought him a new coffee maker and had it sent to his house. It was that simple.
That sounds amazing.
2 days later with Amazon Prime.
Ooh, I have a curry coming this week.
Why would you do that?
$60.
Man.
Nice.
Jason, are you upset about the pollution?
Well, no, it's just that it's not that good of coffee. Like the Nespresso machine, that makes really good cup of espresso. However, the Keurig doesn't make good coffee. I have my Bialetti and I have my French press, and that's what I make my coffee in.
You are such a coffee snob.
No. I am not. I like coffee.
Did you see his hand when he said no? It came up and then little pinky flew out.
And look, his fingers are like he's about to pour, like to drink a cup.
I don't have many vices anymore, but drinking coffee is the vice that I partake in.
Look at his hands. He has a little cup in his hand. Go ahead and put it back up.
A little cup of espresso
I'm drinking some Starbucks right now, you know? And it's not that it's shit coffee. It's coffee that is... You can depend on it. That's the thing.
Now he's trying to keep his pinky for popping.
You know what, man?
It's too much.
You're the guy that can't just fart on you right now. Come over there and blow wind right in your face.
That's fine. Here's the nice thing about some companies that make coffee, including one that actually is here in Lincoln, California, not far from where we are sitting. San Francisco Bay Coffee Company.
Yes, we've been drinking. Yep. I had a cup of that today.
With the coffee is very good, and the cups are mostly biodegradable.
Yep.
Like 90-something% biodegradable. Unlike the plastic ones, who it's all throwaway.
Yep.
So you can
trick responsibly.
Yeah, and there are a few others. I bought one. I forget the name of it. They're out of Oregon. I got them, and they're the same type of cups.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if you get those, then it throws it away. It biodegrades. It's great.
And you can find those on Amazon.com. So why don't you click through?
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Thank you for the suggestion.
So a Nevada assemblywoman has generously offered to shoot Syrian refugees herself. That's right. She's a Tea Party Republican and Nevada Assemblywoman. Her name's Michelle Fiore. Gawker calls her a lunatic. She made headlines last week when she sent out her family's gun-themed Christmas card. They're all dressed in blue jeans, red shirts, and all of them are holding firearms, including the little kid who looks to be about 7. the three children that have to be held in somebody's arms, not holding firearms yet, but... maybe next year. maybe next year, kids. And there's one particularly scary looking lady holding a semi-automatic.
Man, it's just, it's, oh man. Don't people realize, like, this is, when this is on the equal terms as seeing, like, the jihadist pictures that we see in the middle, like, from the Middle East used in propaganda. Like, right. We are handing people more propaganda.
But they're white. They can't be jihadists.
By the way, she also has her own calendar of her holding guns.
Yeah.
Is she naked?
No. She is a moderately attractive blonde chick with big tits. So...
So she's got everything.
White man's dream.
She has a radio show weekly in Las Vegas called Walk the Talk with Michelle Fiore. She said plainly that she did not sign on to a statement from Republican assemblymen opposing Syrian refugees settling in Nevada because she would rather murder them herself.
That's one cold-ass honky.
What?
She does know she's going to jail, right?
Quote, "What, are you kidding me? I'm about to fly to Paris and shoot him in the head myself," she claimed. "I am not okay with Syrian refugees. I'm not okay with terrorists. I'm okay with putting them down, blacking them out. Just put a piece of brass in their ocular cavity and end their miserable life. I'm good with that."
The only thing she's ever shot was at a firing range. That's it.
Now, in a statement to a local Las Vegas station, KSNV, Fiore claimed that she would only murder terrorists, saying, "I'm not going to back down. I never said I would shoot a Syrian refugee, period. What if I said if it came down to a terrorist or myself, I would not hesitate to kill the terrorist, period."
She's already backed down. She said Syrian, she needs to keep up. I mean, yeah. Like, you know what? I mean, once you declare something like that, you just got to stick by it.
It's the Donald Trump playbook. You keep going with your crazy.
I'm still trying to figure out why come none of these people have not enlisted in the military.
Oh, because it's Obama. He's not my commander in chief.
You know, you don't even have to go get in the military to go to Syria, go fight ISIS. You don't. Because there are a lot of ex-military people that are doing it.
She could go and infiltrate them.
She could go and infiltrate and pretend
to join them.
Right.
Get them from the inside.
Exactly. Just do it from the inside.
Sure. Sure. Speaking of crazy people, Liberty University, which is Jerry Falwell's university.
Oh, I love that place.
The president there of that university raised some secular eyebrows when he urged Christian students to start carrying guns. The explanation... that haters are lacking knowledge about the true character of God. Now, Liberty is a well-funded Christian school. The president is Jerry Falwell Jr., has a reputation for being somewhat less loony than its televangelist father, who made gun remarks all the more newsworthy. It's very weird. What Falwell said to the entire student body while urging them to get licensed and carry guns on campus was... And I quote, "I always thought that if more good people had concealed carry permits, then we would end those Muslims before they walk in and kill."
Who's going to kill the crazy white man that keeps shooting up everything?
Let's break it down. How many, if you go through all of the shootings in the United States of America, prior to what happened in San Bernardino, how many of them were crazy Muslims? The one guy at the Texas... army base.
Yeah.
He's the only one I can think of. I can name off several white guys.
Yeah.
Several. I'm sure there's a black guy in there here or there, one or two, there's like an outlier.
The DC sniper
would be the best
outlier.
Yeah, there's always an outlier. But
and everybody thought he was white.
Oh, God, yeah.
He was white.
That's why he got away with it for so long. Exactly. They were never looking for that guy.
Man, it's just... Isn't it so, I mean, I just, like, first of all, like, isn't, like, if your primary goal in what you do in life is talk about Jesus Christ.
And guns.
You're talking about Jesus Christ. How can guns even come into play in the conversation of Jesus Christ? Like, how is that even something that if you follow and you are a Christian to be Christ-like? Can that even come into play? Because that's not what he was about. Mm-hmm. That's not what he was about.
He stopped Peter and said, "Those who live by the sword die by the sword."
Yeah, but he also cast the money changers out of the temple and whipped them.
That has nothing to do with guns.
So if he would have had if he would have had a gun,
he could have just shot all those.
That's right. He could have shot the money changers at the temple, Sam.
Yeah, but he didn't kill anyone. He just flipped their tables
instead
and get
of
the
killing.
Out of here.
Instead of he would let himself.
He can have a righteous anger and not kill people.
He let himself die, as opposed to let other people die.
Right. He would not have killed him. He would have whooped him because whooping them out in public was more
humiliating.
Humiliating.
That's right.
Them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh man, let's get all theological on this shit.
All right.
Half of those people don't read the Bible anyway. They only they only get what they get at Bible study or on Sundays.
Bible flashcards?
Yeah, pretty much.
And then some guy that they listen to talk about
it. That's true. Yeah. Hey, you know who talked again? Ronda Rousey.
Thank goodness.
She's back.
She's kicking it?
Well, she got kicked in it.
Right, exactly.
But she went on SportsCenter to talk about the
whole fight. What most surprised you about Ronda Rousey and the time you spent with her?
I mean, honestly, I've covered so many superstar athletes, you know, in the NBA and baseball. You don't get somebody.
This is Ramona Shelburne, not Ronda Rousey.
Athletes who will go.
Hey, it's Diana Hong.
Story. I mean, Players Tribune and putting your own message out there, and you can read all that and not feel like you know him. You can spend 10 minutes with Ronda Rousey when her guard is down, when her filter is down, and feel like you know her.
I was stunned at how vulnerable she allowed herself, how raw she was. Usually I said to Jay, fighters, you just know them, win or lose, there's bravado. And it seemingly has disappeared.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that's really what's inside of her all day long. I feel like that fear, one of the parts of the interview that I can't get out of my head still is when I said to her, did you ever think this could happen? Did you ever think you could lose? And she's like, I always think I can lose. Nobody else thinks that I can lose, but I'm always bleeping scared. I'm always scared.
Wow.
And I kind of pictured that now. When she gets into the fight, when you're in there and it's just you in the octagon, everything that's inside of you comes out. And it's a fight or flight response. And I think when she says, I'm always scared, I'm always channeling that. You don't hear people admit that very often, especially a fighter who's been seen as invincible, but I didn't feel like it was a line. I really felt like she was telling the truth about everything.
It's interesting.
Some of the things that she said, she's admitted that she's been really fucking sad since she lost a month ago. She said, I need to come back and beat this chick. Who knows if I'm going to pop my teeth out or break my jaw or rip my lip open. I have to fucking do it. I was thinking, on the bright side, I'm more like crushed idealism and sardonic sense of humor now. I got hit in that first round. I cut my lip open and knocked a couple of my teeth loose. I was out on my feet from the very beginning. That was pretty obvious, actually. Dana White, the president of the UFC, has confirmed there will be a Rousey home rematch, and Rousey is game, saying, of course, what else am I going to fucking do?
He said he doesn't want to let Holmes fight again until Rousey's ready to fight.
Well, here's the thing. If she comes back and beats Holly Holm, it's Ronda Rousey back on top again. Ride that wave. That's money. That's money. Holly Holm is not money UFC.
Yeah, she is not being Holly Holm.
Oh, my God. Here's the thing about Holly Holm. I heard her. She did a tour at ESPN. I heard her do two different shows one day. And for as good a fighter as she is that boring an interview.
Yeah.
Because, you know, fighters fight. They don't necessarily talk. So if you get a fighter who can talk and carry themselves and do that, like, say, Conor McGregor.
Man.
13 seconds, Conor McGregor, bitches. Then you got something very special. But, yeah, Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey mean money for UFC.
It gives the Irish boys like myself, like, a little bit of, you know, like, there we go. There's one of those old Irish guys we hear about.
Fighting Irish.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Yeah, but Ronda's gonna get her ass whooped again.
it's entirely possible.
It's your theme song, Dana.
Small town news.
Florida
from
Corner.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
Hey, Diana Hong just got here.
What up?
Hi, Diana. Just in time for Florida Corner.
Was there the Publix? Fucking Publix. I forgot what it was called when I was talking about it one day and I got hella sad.
Well, a Florida man on the prowl to burglarize homes was eaten by an alligator after fleeing deputies.
Serves him right.
I'm going to go to hell because I just laughed.
The Brevard County Sheriff's Office said that 22-year-old Matthew Riggins of Palm Bay, Florida, whose body was discovered in Barefoot Bay Lake on November 23rd, drowned as a result of an alligator attack. During the discovery of Riggins' body, Sheriff's Dives team members encountered a large alligator aggressively approaching the area where the body was located. Now, due to the trauma they observed on the body, a Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission trapper was called, and an alligator approximately 11 feet long was trapped and euthanized.
Woo-hoo!
So the alligator got the death penalty, too.
Why are you killing the alligator?
Yeah, dude, let that guy go. Man. He didn't do... Yeah, he was like, a circle of life, baby.
You should have gave him a reward.
Yeah, that's like, hey.
He just caught a villain.
That's it.
A forensics examination of the alligator located the remains consistent with the injuries to Riggins inside the alligator's stomach. So one more burglar off the streets, guys.
That's it. You didn't have to kill the alligator to find that out.
Yeah, that's abuse.
Well, I think they killed the alligator because the alligator was a little aggressive with them.
Did they get the alligator before or after he pooped out the bad guy?
Before.
Before, because they had to go and they had to dissect
that.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Polk County Sheriff's Office has made an arrest in a fatal hit and run. Now, that's not funny. Of a 49-year-old homeless man riding his bicycle on the shoulder of Highway 92. They arrested Randy Joe Allen. He was identified as the driver behind a green Ford F-250 truck, which was seen leaving the scene of the crash by an eyewitness. Now, the eyewitness was able to provide many details about the truck, including a partial license plate and a description of the vehicle and driver. Allen has 7 prior arrests in Polk. He was arrested for DUI in 2008. Now, detectives were able to correctly identify him through something called a David search and went to his residence to arrest him. He was not there, but family members told deputies that Allen and the truck were at Liquid Larry's bar.
Liquid Larry!
Deputies found the damaged truck at the bar. The truck had damage to the front passenger's headlight assembly, the hood, and the passenger side, consistent with the crash. Detectives also reported blood stains appeared to be present on the passenger door. Allen was approached by deputies, and he stated that he believed he struck a stop road sign or a guardrail while driving. He also told deputies he had a female passenger inside the vehicle at the time and said that the passenger distracted him and prevented him from seeing what he had hit. The female passenger was interviewed at the Royal Inn Motel. When detectives questioned her, she stated that she met Allen at the Midway Lounge, and after a few drinks, she left the bar with him. She also told deputies she was performing oral sex on him when he was driving and heard a loud bump. Roadhead kills.
Exactly.
Especially in Florida.
Oh, man.
So there was a laugh in there. We just had to go a long way to get it. Also, I got some bonus Florida corner for you because, you know, we've been away for a little bit. drinking and driving is never okay. You know what else is not okay? When your car calls and narcs on you.
Time to speak with vehicle occupants. Attention, a crash has occurred in a Ford vehicle. Press 1 at any time for location.
This is the 911 call. From the car.
Oh, man.
Attention, a crash has occurred. Line open.
Hello? Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is 911. You've been involved in an accident?
No.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Okay. Well, your car called into us because it said you've been involved in an accident. Are you sure everything's okay?
Everything's okay.
Okay, are you
broke
down?
Is that a fucking Tyrannosaurus?
No. Unfortunately, no, I'm fine.
Okay, ma'am, what's
going on?
She's
got a concussion.
Ma'am?
What is that fucking Satan noise?
Hello?
What's your wipers? That's it.
Everything's fine. The guy that hit me, he did not turn.
Now the truth.
And he rushed to the point that I could not control that.
Oh,
okay,
God.
So you have been involved in an accident.
Drunk.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Did another car hit your car?
No. Did you hit a car?
No, I didn't.
No, okay, I didn't. What kind of vehicle are you in?
I'm in a Ford Escort.
What color is it?
Black.
Okay, did you hit, like, a guardrail or anything?
No, the guy turned around and it was fine.
Okay, do you know where you're at?
Yes.
Where are you?
So do we, because your car called us.
That's so fucking funny.
So she got narked out by her car. So it's great that there's technology, but not if you're going to hit and run on people.
Oh, my gosh, man.
So if you're going to drink and drive and hit and run, get an old car. Because the new one will narc you out.
That's great. Wow. That's fantastic.
Oh, that,
I'm so happy about that.
That made my day when I found out this.
It was a mistake. Sorry.
Straight out of Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, the car is smarter than her, and that's really the problem that went on with
or
this
not
whole
as
thing.
Drunk, right?
The car was totally not as drunk as her. that was what we learned from that. All right, let's see. It's time to wrap things up. Diana, what have you been up to?
Work.
Mostly working.
Just work.
Gotta keep working.
I'm really boring now. It's nice being boring because I have money.
Right.
Like I bought this jacket and it was only $30 and I didn't have to look at my bank account.
I love it. Diana says I'm boring now.
I like to touch it.
Because before she was such a whirlwind of activity.
Yeah.
Okay, just because I don't remember the activity does not mean it didn't happen. Is this the Wednesday show still?
Yes.
Oh, I'm at Laughs Unlimited this weekend.
Oh, great.
So come check me out.
Come check her out.
I don't know who the headliner is.
It doesn't matter.
You're there.
That's the whole point. All right, let's do this.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
It is time for Small Town News. It's time for Speak Out from the Press Republican. Early to bed, early to rise will ensure that each student is healthy and academically wise. Someone wrote that into the paper.
Good.
Wow. And they printed it.
That's like from the Farmer's Almanac in 1862.
Exactly.
Get ready, it's about to take a turn. Hey, if Black Lives Matter would like to really make a statement, have all black NFL players stop playing until police justice is equally given to all. How quickly things would change. Sad.
I kind of see the point.
Yeah.
Like
I think that would do something.
That would really do something.
Like
yeah.
Shit, NFL. Wow. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, you know what, Matt? Benjamins matter.
Yeah.
To the players.
Wow. That's right, yeah. Speak Out just spoke some truth. That was Did not expect that. I expect that to go a completely different turn when, how about Black Lives Matter? Usually when small town people talk about that, it takes something, goes a completely different direction.
Hey, cheers to the Unstable Forks Fire Department for putting up the new Christmas lights. Thank you for putting them up on Route 9N. They're so beautiful and make the town so festive for the holidays.
Aww. Precious.
That's so nice.
Wait a minute. We can't let a football team be named after Indians? But now we want to rename a traditional federal holiday after them? Make up your mind, or just leave things alone and find bigger issues to be concerned about.
The fuck?
That guy loves Columbus Day, right?
Yeah.
He loves Columbus Day.
The city school board is discussing changing the early morning school hours to 8:30 a.m.
Oh, shit.
How about kids learn to go to bed and be responsible? They're going to be adults soon. Think work will let them come in later because they didn't go to bed?
Oh, my God. That is...
Let's be honest. The teachers petitioned for that. They're like, well, I'm tired and hungover. I don't want to come in at 7.
I mean, there was... When I went to school, like, there was the early birds at 7:30 and the late birds at 8:30. You came in...
Different times. And my school came in at 7:14. Not 15. 14. They said it was because of the bus schedule.
Sam went to anal retentive elementary.
Yeah.
And finally in Speak Out, automobiles on Brinkerhoff Street are adorned with a notice to stay off that street so that the city parade may proceed on December 4th, unencumbered. Wouldn't it be prudent to get all the cars off the city streets so that street sweeping vehicles can vacuum the leaves?
Is that the last one?
It is. That is the last one.
There's nothing about sidewalks. Where's our sidewalk, dude?
Well, it hasn't snowed.
It hasn't snowed.
But we've got the leaves on the streets. So
it is closed.
Yeah, we've still got those. So, by the way, I have a bonus small town news. Here is a commercial that you all might enjoy. And it's for Lenny's Shoe and Apparel, which is a shoe and apparel store in Vermont, and there's one in Plattsburgh, New York as well. And this ad I saw in virtually every break in local news on three different stations.
This last week when you were up there?
When I was in Vermont. So this is a little small town ad for you.
I grew up in the state of Vermont, repping Lenny's cause their flannels are the greatest of flans. If I get zap on me, things could get sticky, so I wear Carhartt overalls or Dickies. I'm killing it, bro, from Killington to Stowe. I'm chilling in the snow with some frostbitten toes. Oh no, need some darn tough socks to warm me, so I bought them at Lenny's where the staff adores me. It's just little VTZVT, repping Lenny's and low VTZ and up in Plattsburgh.
Yes, up in Platt's Beezy.
Get out of my Beezy, bro.
Jason is a connoisseur of hip hop. What do you think of that ad?
I wouldn't call it hip hop or rap, but I would say that I got a kick out of it, and yeah. it was funny. So
if I fall into some sap, I'm bound to get sticky. So yeah. I better get my Carhartts and Dickies.
Yeah,
that's why he wears Carhartts over his Dickies.
That's right. Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, that was a small town, right? That was totally small town.
They know their market, man.
I am personally really tired of that, as I've heard it. Dozens and dozens of times.
I think one time was enough.
One time was enough.
They got some money, though, for Sheezy.
Yeah, way to go, VTJV, whatever.
VTZ.
In Platt's Beezy. So
get the fuck Platt's out of my bitches. Beezy.
That's it. That's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Go see Diana this weekend at Laughs Unlimited.
Yes, please.
Because she's going to try to be funny.
Yeah, yeah, and for God's sake, do not go see Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, is it that bad?
No, so I can have the theater to myself.
You know what? There's a lot coming out.
You don't have your tickets already?
Oh, I do. Okay. Yeah, I got them.
I do want to see Star Wars, and I will see Star Wars about 5 or 6 days after it opens, when it thins out. The movie here, and you're going to make fun of me. The movie I'm really looking forward to, Daddy's Home. With Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
That should be pretty funny.
Looking forward to that.
That should
sure.
be very funny. All right, we're going to wrap up the show with a song. Brian Fallon, who's the lead singer of the Gaslight Anthem, has a new album that is dropping in March. He will be playing in Sacramento the day before my birthday in February, though.
I know what to get you.
Well, I've already got tickets.
Damn it.
I got tickets the day I found out that they were coming out, because it's an Ace of Spades, and I didn't want it to be shut out. But on the day I was traveling back from Vermont, I was on social media and I saw the first single is out. So I immediately downloaded it and listened to it about 8 times in a row at O'Hare, because I love the song and I was bored. This is A Wonderful Life from Brian Fallon on The Nate Darling Show. Bye bye, everybody.
Most of this life's been a drag of a high and lows like a blow. Throne title fight. Most of my sins were born in a kiss on a night like this. Calling all lonely hearts. Don't you want a life like we saw on the picture show? So come on, give me something and come on, keep me up all night. You say, my baby, I'll
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.